Our scripture this morning will be out of the book of Psalms, and we'll be reading Psalm number 5, and that's on page 725 in your companion Bible. Give ear to my words, O Lord. Consider my meditation. Hearken unto the voice of my cry, my King and my God, for unto thee will I pray. My voice shalt thou hear in the morning, O Lord. In the morning will I direct my prayer unto thee, and will look up. For thou art not a God that hath pleasure in wickedness, neither shall evil dwell with thee. The foolish shall not stand in thy sight. Thou hatest all workers of iniquity. Thou shalt destroy them that speak leasing. The Lord will abhor the bloody and deceitful man. But as for me, I will come unto thy house in the multitude of thy mercy, and in thy fear will I worship forward thy holy temple, toward thy holy temple. Lead me, O Lord, in thy righteousness because of mine enemies. Make thy way straight before my face. For there is no faithfulness in their mouth. Their inward part is very wickedness. Their throat is an open sepulchre. They flatter with their tongue. Destroy thou them, O God. Let them fall by their own counsels. Cast them out in the multitude of their transgressions, for they have rebelled against thee. But let all those that put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy, because thou defendest them. Let them also that love thy name be joyful in thee. For thou, Lord, wilt bless the righteous. With favor wilt thou compass him as with a shield.
Our subject this morning will be the love of the truth. The love of the truth. And that is a phrase that is found in Scripture. And the subject is as vast as the truth itself. And it is therefore deserving of our attention because it is unquestionably tied to the counterpart, which is also a phrase of Scripture, the love of the lie, as found later there in the Scripture. I don't know about you, but I love the truth. Sometimes it's a little bit hard to dig it out, maybe. That's why we're here, trying to understand what is the truth. So turn, if you will, to 2 Thessalonians in your Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, page 1796 in the companion Bible. 2 Thessalonians chapter 2. Here in Paul's second epistle to the Thessalonians, we find the term, the love of the truth, as we will read of the coming of the parousia of the man of sin, better described as the lawless one or Antichrist. So there in the second chapter of 2 Thessalonians, let us look at starting with verse 9. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God sent them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned who believed not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. But we are bound to give thanks always to God for you, brethren, beloved of the Lord, because God hath from the beginning chosen you to salvation through sanctification of the Spirit and belief of the truth. There are similar passages. And by the way, if there's something in there that kind of tripped you up, we're going to return back to this verse, a couple of these verses a little later on. But there are similar passages that contrast this love of the truth with the love of the lie. Now we find the term love of the lie in Revelation. You don't believe me? Let's look at that. Revelation chapter 22. Revelation 22. Here in Revelation, we find the term love of the lie. Here we find those who loveth and maketh a lie, classed with dogs, sorcerers, whoremongers, murderers, and idolaters. Look at verse 15. For without are dogs and sorcerers and whoremongers and murderers and idolaters, and whosoever loveth and maketh the lie. It seems, as we begin to get into this, that it is not primarily a question of receiving the truth, but more so the desire to know the truth. That's why we are here, is to desire to learn, to know. Through the Holy Spirit, as we've spoken of here last week or so, but also from the lips of others who have also been studying of God's Word. The desire to know. And it turns out to be the intent of the heart which distinguishes the one from the other. The surprising thing is this. As bad as this love of the lie is, it becomes the more sinister when we discover that failure to receive the love of the truth results in the condemnation to believe the lie. If you can, does that ring, does something not seem right there? We'll look at that a little later. But first, there are, apart from this reference in Thessalonians, three other scriptures which speak of the lie itself. So let's look at those. Turn to the book of John, chapter 8. John chapter 8. John chapter 8, verse 44. Ye are of your father the devil, and the lust of your father ye will do. He was a murderer from the beginning, and abode not in the truth, because there is no truth in him. When he speaketh a lie, he speaketh of his own, for he is a liar and the father of it. When he Satan speaks a lie, it comes from within him because he stood not for the truth from the beginning. He is a manslayer from the beginning, described as a manslayer. That's, you know, that's taking humanity and ready with his death-dealing lie. To discover the lie, we need to turn back to the beginning and the temptation of man in Eden. There we find the lie is threefold. So turn back to Genesis chapter 3, and we'll learn a little bit more about the lie that's been foisted on the human race. Here we'll find that the lie is basically threefold as we look at Genesis chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Now the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said unto the woman, Yea, hath God said, Ye shall not eat of the tree of the garden? And the woman said unto the serpent, Ye may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden, but of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, Ye shall not eat of it, neither shall ye touch it, lest ye die. And the serpent said unto the woman, Ye shall not surely die, for God doth know that in the day ye eat thereof, then your eyes shall be opened, and ye shall be as God, knowing good as evil." Well, he made his own interpretation there. What did God actually say? We'll turn back to the second chapter of Genesis. Look at verse 16. "And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, Of every tree of the garden from the garden thou mayest freely eat, but of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil thou shalt not eat of it, for in the day that thou eatest thereof thou shalt surely die." So not only did Satan seek to distort the character of God by distorting his words, but he also sought to distort man's estimate of himself. "Ye shall be a God," he says to Eve. So the lie consists of a threefold denial of the truth. One, the truth about God. Two, the truth of what God said. And three, the truth concerning man. For practical purposes, I can say it in my mind this way. The lie is that man is as God. That's number one. Number two, man forms his own opinion of the character of God. And number three, man can judge the word of God and is only answerable to himself. That's basically the practical explanation of what Satan has translated, what Eve was told, into his own thinking. The second reference, that was the first that we want to look at, the second reference to the lie is found in Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, verse 25. "Who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen." These being spoken of here have put themselves in all thought and schemes first, worshiping things rather than the Creator. Things like golden images, celebrity, weird beast, political figures, stars, human desires, all forms of pagan worship, all of those things have been put forth as a lie. In short, what has happened, God made man in his own image. As a result of the lie, man has made God in his own image. So in reality, what's happened, man worshiping himself and God's, small g, God's made in his own image, has been worshiping Satan without really realizing what's happened. Thereby, basing his whole way of life on the lie. Look at Exodus chapter 20. I apologize for running you around like this, but you know, this is the inspired word of God, and it's cross-referenced and it's truth everywhere, and sometimes you have to jump around to get a sense of what God is saying. Exodus chapter 20, beginning with verse 1, "And God spake all these words, saying, I am the Lord thy God, which hath brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. Thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image or any likeness of anything that is in heaven above, or that is in earth beneath, or that is in the water under the earth. Thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, not serve them, for I, the Lord, thy God, am jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me. I don't need to say much more. All of these things that have been dreamed up in the form of the lie that society and culture today tends to think is important, or even worship, is a part of the lie. And it's more than just a part of the lie. It is the love of the lie rather than the love of the truth. And the love of the lie does not necessarily involve outright rejection of God as creator. You can find yourself trapped in both. But it does involve the worship of something from the created order alongside God. And this is rebellion, and inevitably leads on to corruption and violence, as we can read where God gave them up. Turn back to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, beginning with verse 22. This is where we find a great deal of population today. Professing themselves to be wise, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into an image made like to corruptible man, into birds and four-footed beasts and creeping things. Wherefore, God also gave them up to uncleanliness through the lust of their own hearts, to dishonor their own bodies between themselves, who changed the truth of God into a lie, and worshiped and served the creature, more than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. For this cause, God gave them up into a vile affection, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. The third reference to the lie is found in the book of Ephesians, chapter 4, Ephesians chapter 4. Now, I've got to admit, I read this wrong forever. I just read it wrong. Verse 14 says that we henceforth be no more children tossed to and fro and carried about with every wind of doctrine by the sleight of men and cunning craftiness whereby they lie in wait to deceive. This is not someone in a prone position ready to jump out and deceive you. It is from the Greek word, which is the first meaning of the word lie, is to a non-truth. It's a non-truth that they lie about, that is constantly being fed to us through this lie by those that are non-believers. I always read it the wrong way. I thought somebody was laying down there hiding, ready to jump out. First and foremost, we need to receive the love of the truth. That's first. And this love is the same word used of God's love. It is based on principle, knowing and believing that He and His word is truth. Fundamentally, This means the love of the Lord himself, who is the truth. He is the truth. And we see today a running away from that person of God the Father. Now, I want to talk a little bit about the consequences of loving the lie and not the truth. So go back here again to 2 Thessalonians. 2 Thessalonians. The verses that we read. 2 Thessalonians. Let's read verses 9 again and further. Verse 9, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusions that they should believe the lie. What? God condemns those to believe the lie? Those who changed the truth of God into a lie and worshiped and served the Creator more than the Creator, served the creation more than the Creator? He condemns them to believe it. Precisely what it says in verse 11, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe Satan's lies. How do you explain that? Well, you got to be really quite clear. It is not God who deluded them. It is Satan. They had a free will to believe. God merely confirms them in the condition they have chosen. A good illustration of that is found in Leviticus chapter 13, and we're not going to go there because it's an unbelievable chapter. It's where they determined who had leprosy and who did not have leprosy, or who had cancers or whatever. You didn't have it until the priest said you had it. And you can read that. That's a long chapter, by the way. I think there's 40 or 50 verses in that chapter. And it's a process that, I don't know, I wonder if the medical profession's ever looked at it or not. But it figures out whether somebody's got leprosy or not. But they only had it once the priest said for sure that they had it. And they went through this whole long process, 50 verses of it. Here, the point is reached by those that love the lie, where they have progressed so far that God has officially announced them as being deluded. They have gone beyond because they have no love or interest in the truth whatsoever, and God has condemned them to be deluded with regards to the lie. I want to give you, in more or less in conclusion, an example of loving the lie and the false doctrine that follows as a result of this. Turn to 1 Timothy chapter 4. It's the next book over in your Bible. 1 Timothy chapter 4. Now this is verse 1. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly that in the latter times some shall depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits and doctrines of devils. It is most often thought that the apostasy that we're going to see in our times and as we get even further along in the later times of God's plan. It's most often thought that the apostasy to be found in the world in the end times are without Christ. That's not true. How can such a condition be put away or removed from faith, that which they do not have in the first place? No, it is believers that the apostle here has in mind. Departure from the faith is connected with seducing spirits and doctrines of demons, lying, not prone, lying, waiting to deceive those who love the truth. Turn over to 2 Timothy chapter 4. 2 Timothy chapter 4. Verse 3. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth and shall be turned into fables. The word fable here occurs only five times, actually, in the whole of the New Testament, and is connected with warnings to refuse or to not heed those things regarding the truth. Profane things, trifling things, silly things, commandments of men rather than God, turning from the truth, which is God Himself in Christ Jesus, the love of the truth. Silly, they may not be, but they are not to be treated lightly, because they are far too serious and held in consequence that the truth is being rejected. Let me give you one example that shall remind us of the serious character and nature of these fables. There are dozens like this. For the sake of time this morning, I only go into one of them to look at. It may seem of little importance, but there are those who believe in the immortality of the soul. This is taught. Mom and Grandpa are all up there looking down. They're all immortal. Everybody's living forever. The immortal of the soul. While at the same time, they're trusting the Lord Jesus Christ for their salvation. Yet here is a fable rather than godly edifying, a fable which turns from the truth in that it is part of Satan's original lie. Ye shall not surely die. And so they have this lie going for the immortality of the soul. Everybody eventually lives forever. We saw it in Genesis 3:4, in direct contradiction of God's clear statement, ye shall die. In Genesis 2:17. What occurs as a result of this, the doctrine goes to pot. The truth goes to pot. And you have man with eternal life in hell, because they believe in hell and they believe in the immortal of the soul. And when that is, in fact, the gift of God to them that believe, verses like the wages of sin is death becomes what? The wages of sin is hell. John 3:16 becomes, shall not perish, but rather have eternal life in hell or in heaven. And a fable is born. And we see that everywhere in Christian faith. A failure to love the truth enough to discern the lie and become a part of it and become deluded as a result of it. So, what's the antidote to this lie of the truth? Well, Paul tells Timothy this. He says, take heed unto thyself and thy doctrine. Make sure you got it right. Hold fast the form of sound words, Timothy. Rightly to divide the word of truth to understand. Continue in the things that thou hast learned. Don't be deceived by somebody lying in wait. Knowing from where they have come, preach the word in and out of season. Reprove, rebuke, exhort with long suffering and good doctrine. Guard it. The object of the faithful proclamation of the word is to convict, not just yourself, but others, to convince, to encourage, to comfort, but overall is to expose the lie as a result of understanding and loving the truth, who is Christ. Today, in the face of world events and the developments in our churches, it is little doubt that we live in a perilous time. You can see the lie all over, everywhere. The news, the universities, everywhere. It's there. Subtle, but there. And hope that we are all alive to the dangers that are being presented us as the love of the lie, and that as a result, we may all be upholding the love of the truth. I love it. I hope you do too. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you for the truth. We ask that you will continue to show us, to open our hearts and minds, that we may grow in the grace and the knowledge of you, the truth. May we all be rooted and grounded in that truth and in your love. For us in Christ's name we pray. Amen.